Project, and they'd be like,
what the hell?
He'd be like, he don't know what you're talking about. Oh, it's me. It's me. Homie with the dreads.
Shall we get into it?
Let's get it.
Let's, you know, I mean, I feel like this is pretty relevant, but as far as the medical system, they do not care about us. So let's listen to They Don't Care About Us by Michael Jackson.
They don't really care about us.
You know, sometimes I think they don't truly understand me, you know? Cause they don't. Change the world as we change ourselves. Die from the sicknesses if we don't seek the health. All eyes be my witness when I speak what's felt. Full house on my hands, the cars I was dealt. 3 K's, 2 A's in America. I'm just a black space born out the nebula. And everything I do will say today that's worthwhile. With assurance by your action and your first child, I begin my first nap. Sometimes I speak and I feel like it ain't my words. Like I'm just a vessel channeling inside this universe. I feel my ancestors arrested inside of me. It's like they want me to shoot my chance and change this society. But how do I go about it? Tell me where I start. My destiny rerouted when I chose to follow heart. You chose to follow suit, but tell me what it do for you. Except where you down, now you trapped inside the cubicle they built for us. The first step in the change is to take notice. Realize the real gains that they try to show us. 300 plus years of them cold shoulders. Yeah, 300 million of it still got no focus. Sorry, America, but I would not be your soldier. Obama just wasn't enough, I need some more closure. And Donald Trump is not equipped to take this country over. Let's face facts, cause we know what's the real motives. In the land of the free is full of freeloaders. Leave us dead in the street to be the organ donors. They disorganized my people, made us all loners. Still got the last names of our slave owners. In the land of the free is for the freeloaders. Leave us dead in the street to be the organ donors. They disorganized my people, made us all loners. Yeah, we can't change the world unless we change ourselves. Die from the sicknesses if we don't seek the help. All eyes be my witness when I speak what's felt. Full house on my hands, the cards I was dealt. 3 K's, 2 A's in America. I'm just a black space born out the nebula. And everything I do is say today that's worthwhile. With assurance by your action. Hold up, yeah. Trickery in the system, put my niggas in prison. All our history hidden, ain't no liberty given. We all fit the description of what the document's written. We've been lacking the vision and barely making a living. We too worried to fit in, while they been benefiting. Every time you submit it, we all guilty admitted. The law won't get you acquitted, but you still effort forgiveness. Put opiates and syringes, then inject his religion. Now many times I gotta tell you I'm a man in the mission. Many times I gotta tell you I don't need no permission. A human with supervision, ain't no living condition. I'm reaching out to my children, just hoping that they would listen. Start a new coalition against corrupt politicians. It's not enough about the prison. Too many murder convictions. Nothing family evicted. Nothing black man the victim. That's as real as it's getting. You should take recognition. In the land of the free is full of freeloaders. Leave us dead in the street to be the organ donors. They disorganized my people, made us all loners. Still got the last names of our slave owners. In the land of the free is full of freeloaders. Leave us dead in the street to be the organ donors. They disorganized my people, made us all loners. Yeah. We can't change the world unless we change ourselves. Die from the sicknesses if we don't seek the health. All eyes be my witness when I speak what's felt. Full house on my hands, the cards I was dealt. 3 K's, 2 A's in America. I'm just a black space born out the nebula. And everything I do is say today that's worthwhile. With assurance by your action and your first child. Yeah.
Everybody thinks we're wrong. But mother, who are they to judge us? Mother, mother, simply calls me where I belong. Mother, mother.
With Black on Black on Black, you're here with D. Fantastic.
Skippity skippity quick quick queen.
Skippity skippity
swat pop.
Skippity toilet. I'm sorry. You're listening to Black on Black on Black. We're here every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m.
Mondays are fun days.
And we're talking about April, which is National Minority Health Month. Mm. And so previously in our last segment, we were talking about just like general minority health concerns. And so let's get into Black specific health concerns. Mm-hmm. So heart disease and cancer are the leading cause of deaths across race, ethnicity, gender, right? Black people, a.k.a. African-Americans, you know, they got to put African-Americans in the statistics, but we Black.
But we Black.
Okay, African-Americans / Black people. We're 30% more likely than whites to die prematurely from heart disease, okay? Mm-hmm. And African-American men were twice as likely than whites to die prematurely from stroke. The U.S. CDC, so the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, reports that nearly 44% of Black men and 48% of Black women have some form of cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. Federal data projects life expectancy to be at like 72 years for non-Hispanic Black Americans, the lowest since 2000, and below the estimates for other racial and ethnic groups. So it's around like 77 for the white population. Mm-hmm. And the white non-Hispanic population experienced a smaller decline as a result. The CDC also reports that African American and Native American / Alaska Native females have higher rates of stroke-related death than Hispanic and white women.
Hmm.
So what, you know, just as anecdotes, and, you know, we're not scientists, we're not experts here. Mm-hmm. What do you think is it so specifically about heart disease that affects Black people so much?
Yeah, I think I think the amount of stress in general that is put on Black folk is for sure a factor.
Yeah.
Stress that comes from just living in a very oppressive society. Mm-hmm. Stress that may come from trying to uplift your own family outside of whatever circumstances they may be encountering because of those types of dynamics. And I also think that the history of food in our culture, which is directly impacted by racism and slavery, right? Yeah. For sure plays. The fact that we are in 2024 and niggas are still eating chitlins, I really need y'all to like this. My people, we don't need to do this. Like, we really don't.
So for those who don't know, chitlins are pig intestines that some people eat. I have never. My mother eats them sometimes.
And
I do not. I have never in my life. She used to eat it like almost every year for New Year's Eve, and my dad would like go and get the bucket of chitlins or the bucket of pig intestines.
Bro, that red bucket.
And he would bring it back to the house, and he would clean it outside for mom. He wouldn't eat it, but he cleaned it for mom.
That's love.
Yeah, and she would make it. But me and my siblings would hide all the way upstairs trying to get away from the stench.
And if you're wondering what do we mean by cleaning it, yeah, you are cleaning shit out of it.
Yes, you need to clean the intestines.
Yeah.
You can't like just eat them.
No.
I mean, obviously, but...
But understand, they still smell.
Yeah, they smell.
They smell the high heaven.
It's indescribable.
The smell is so bad. For the longest time, I would say probably till I was a full-grown adult, I didn't like cabbage. because the meal, the New Year's meal is chitlins, cabbage, and black-eyed peas. Yep. So for the longest time, I just associated everything on, I didn't eat any of that food. Because I'm like, it all must be cooked in it. It's that whole plate. That whole plate sucks. Trash. And so we would all, during those times, we'd all be outside.
Yeah.
But like these are types of food that came out of slavery, where black folks were literally given the scraps or like the bad portions of meat, and just works with it. Yep. It made it into cuisine that, you know, other parts of it are more edible.
Yeah, like pig feet's way more edible.
Yeah. And then what got introduced is like seasoning. So there, like, a lot of salt is added to things. A lot of different seasonings to cover up the actual
butters, lards, that sort of thing, to make it palatable.
Palatable, you know? more editable, to help the meat kind
of what?
Editable.
More edible?
I'm not doing this with you today.
I'm sorry.
Every time. I ain't doing this with you.
I'm just I'm just trying to help a nigga out.
No, you're not. don't play. To make things more palatable, does that feel better to you?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So these kinds of things would get added, but what it resulted in is foods that are just high in cholesterol and like high and contribute to all of these types of diseases that black folks now have. A lot of it is linked to the food, and and what a lot of people are missing is that cuisine is from a point in time where we were not given or like were able to even purchase like sustainable, healthy food.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think both of those are perfect issues that are within, you know, are culturally relevant issues. I think part of it is food is so important to culture, you know, and so it's hard to step away from foods and, you know, get out of the chitlins, get out of the pig feet, but, you know, like really, really flavorful collard greens, right? They have like ham hock in there.
Yep, I'm not leaving.
And bacon and all that sort of stuff. Like, it's so good.
You can pry cornbread out of my cold dead hands. Right. I'm not doing it.
And so it's like, well, how do you move away from that while still feeling like you're within your culture? I know for a fact, I feel like growing up, you know, it would be like almost a joke if a black person was vegan.
I never met one. Now there's plenty.
Of course.
They have come out the shadows loud and proud. Good for them.
But it's like black vegans, vegetarians, or all that. It almost felt like an attack against their blackness from not eating all like the soulful soul food goodness.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think there's a middle ground though. Because for me, like, I feel like I can fucking cook. You know this.
Yeah.
But like,
throw down.
I avoid using ingredients. Of course, sometimes I go ham because why not? But like, most of the time it's healthy foods.
Yeah.
But they're just, you know, I cut back on the butter. Maybe I don't use butter.
Yeah.
Maybe it's unsalted butter, right?
Yeah, food is not heavily greasy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a way to do both, but you have to, I don't know, it's just really hard. Culturally, it's hard.
Yeah.
On top of that, right, we talked about this in the last segment, but food deserts and all sorts of things that make nutritious food so limited. It's hard to solve.
Mm-hmm.
So on top of that, if you have a whole family struggling with food, and then, you know, you got Big Mama who's cooking every Sunday, she's making all those excellent foods and, you know, meals that aren't necessarily nutritious, but they're huge amounts of food, you're going to eat it.
Yeah.
Because it tastes great.
Yeah.
And you're hungry most of the time.
And then even outside of that, I mean, fast food has become the new soup kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the introduction
of,
like,
That's a good statement.
Yeah. Like, and so, like, even if you're not cooking at home all of these fatty foods, but, like, you're surviving off of fast food because it's significantly cheaper, and you can feed a family off of, like, for $10 because of that $1 menu, $2 menu, you know, those foods are even less nutritious or like even more harmful to me than like soul food is.
Absolutely.
And so, like, I think those types of things, like, are just, you know, are
are the different challenges that black folks are coming up against. It's just like the one, food deserts, absolutely. And the food deserts means usually that there are fast food places around. Yeah. And then the fact that if the person in your house that is cooking is Big Mama, and Big Mama throw down and your baby's eating, they're happy and they're fed.
Yep.
And you get plates to go.
Yep.
Because you as soon as you get there, you pack in place to go, homie. Absolutely. That's tradition.
Yeah. So I think it's a combination of that. And you know what? We've mentioned this term a couple times, and I feel like we should explain what it is. So a food desert is basically a neighborhood that does not have access to fresh food.
Yeah.
What I mean by fresh foods are pre-butchered meats that aren't, like, pre-made,
processed already,
and produce, right? There are a lot of neighborhoods in the country that are food deserts.
Yeah.
And people don't notice them because maybe you're just passing through, but there's literally no access to produce.
Yeah.
You know, or freshly butchered meat. Mm-hmm. So what do? You know, you get your prepackaged stuff. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I also wonder, and I think this all just kind of relates into it, but I think that there is a huge issue with underdiagnosed conditions with black people and the medical community, which we already know that.
Yeah.
So I think it's a combination of it. It's like, well, not only are we more susceptible to these sorts of things, but if our doctor isn't listening to us, if I as a black woman are going in for chest pains and you're like, oh, it's anxiety because, you know, you're working two jobs and you've got four kids, like, that's the main issue. And it's like, well, okay, I guess I just go home and it's anxiety, but instead it's heart disease.
Yeah.
You know? But you're just not really listened to. Yeah. The doctor isn't listening to you.
Yeah, you don't have someone who's trying to advocate for you and, like, taking a sense to rule out everything else before, like, okay, this is anxiety, let's figure out a plan.
Yeah.
Instead of just sending you home, like, we'll figure it out, get more sleep.
Yeah. And then you tell a black person that they have anxiety. I mean, unfortunately, there are large swaths of people within the black community who just don't believe in therapy.
Yeah.
So then, I mean, you may have a heart condition, you don't seek out therapy because you're told you have anxiety. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're pretty much a ticking time bomb at that point.
Yeah.
Which is just sad.
Yeah. And then there's just distrust, even if you are, I mean, even there's also just distrust in the medical field. So that maybe there are things that could be diagnosed, but some black folks just won't go because they're not listened to. They're not heard. They actually are often talked down to when they're there, especially if you are a black woman. It's a lot more patronizing. And unless you know the secret words of, like, I would like for you to document this and write your goddamn name on there as the person who's doing it, you know, and be willing to kind of, like, you really got to advocate for yourself, you know, or else, like, oftentimes they'll just slap a band-aid on it and be like, well, get on out there.
Yeah. I mean, this speaks to my own experience of, you know, not cardiovascular health, but I went diagnosed for probably over half of my lifetime and did not know that I had sleep apnea until this year.
Yeah.
So I have been so exhausted and tired for probably something like 18 years. So I remember I was in middle school, like late middle school, early high school, and just one summer I got really, really tired. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter what I was doing, because at the time I was like a supreme athlete. I was running track and pretty much year round, eating healthy, all of that, and I was just exhausted. So my mom took me to do blood tests and nothing. Like, they ran all these tests and they're like, oh, well, she's a teenager, so she's just tired. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I graduate from high school, I finished puberty at 25 or whatever that ends, you know, and I'm still fucking tired.
Yeah.
So I go, I've had multiple primary care physicians because I've traveled, right? Like, I'm from Houston, but I lived in Austin for almost a decade. Now I'm out here in the Bay Area. So I've had multiple primary care physicians, and I brought up my exhaustion many times. I'm like, I am tired, like, a lot. And you know what they say? They're always like, well, you know, make sure to not look at your phone for 3 hours before you go to bed. Don't have caffeine afternoon. Make sure sure you're working out 8 days a week, and make sure that you're only eating this, this, and this. Oh, and you have PCOS, so, I mean, maybe you just can't have any sugar because you're insulin resistant. And you're just like, okay, so I have to do all of those things, and
I need to change my whole entire life.
And I'm like, literally, I have friends who are getting wasted every night, and look at their, like, burn their eyes out with their phones every night. And
sleep at five.
And they're not tired.
Yeah.
And it literally took me having a baby and being like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm finding a way to do a sleep study. And I had to pretty much find out how to do it by myself, get an at-home sleep test from a company, a tech company that just happens to provide it, and they're the ones who fucking diagnosed me.
Yeah.
So now I'm in the process of getting it solved. Now I'm getting a device that'll go in my mouth to, like, help me, like, sleep better at night. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll, like, reposition my jaw so that I have airflow. But that's fucking years of not getting good sleep. Mm-hmm. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Like, who knows how much of my life, like, has been severely impacted by this? Is my depression because of this? Is my anxiety because of this? You know? Like, who fucking knows?
It definitely didn't help.
No.
Whether it is the cause of it, it definitely didn't help.
Yeah. Right? And I have mild sleep apnea, which apparently I have a sleep, like, a breathing episode 6 times an hour.
That's
every hour.
So that's a mild sleep apnea.
And that's mild sleep apnea. So it's like, could you imagine your body wakes up every, like, 6 hours or 6 times an hour?
No.
Like, that's insane. No. But that's exactly the issue with it. It's like the healthcare industry is just trash in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I've been telling people that I'm tired for so long, and it's like, oh yeah, just don't drink alcohol. Just don't, like, whatever. And I'm like, bro, like,
yeah, it's
this, how much did I need to do to get this
wild
fixed?
Maze of, like, that you have a doctor that's supposed to be helping you navigate, but that doctor's not helping you navigate shit at all. Like, actually, you're getting just a minuscule of a breadcrumb that you're following. You have no idea of the language. And then I was talking with my housemate about this in terms of, like, the language barrier that exists. That I feel like I come up against as a native English speaker, main language, talking to a doctor sometimes, it's like, unless you use a dead language word, all these dead language words that they have in the medical field, like, they look at you like you're stupid, like you have no idea what you're talking about, and you have to figure out the exact name for something,
or else they
look at you like they have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's I can only imagine for someone whose first language is not English, how frustrating that must be.
Of course.
And like, how much they probably internalize it as their fault, but really, like, that doctor's not making an effort at all.
Yeah.
I can tell you, as someone who's like, my pronunciation every once in a while.
Yeah. We're trying to help you out.
Yeah, no, you're not. Maybe fucked. But my comprehension is perfect. And like, I have talked to doctors before, and it feels like we're speaking two different languages.
Yeah. Do you think AI might be helpful in that way? So what I mean by that is, like, you know, doctors are humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
They cannot go through every single type of potential disease that you may have. Is there a way that, like, by filling out some of the symptoms that you're having, you have AI literally search the entire type of diseases that you could possibly have? And, like, that's what doctors might use to help you, like, okay, these are 10 things we can explore, and these are the tests that we're going to run through these 10 things. Like,
it depends,
you know,
on the accessibility of the tool.
Sure.
So, like, it depends on how AI is incorporated in order to serve communities. If that AI is not accessible to the people it needs
to
get to, then it's kind of void. And that's kind of what I work for an organization who does a process of going through, like, public service goods and processes and evaluate a lot of times the accessibility of tools. And there's been processes that have been so advanced in terms of technology wise, which, you know, saves them in terms of time and, like, the human resources. But they didn't account for the accessibility of the tool, so that people. the people who are accessing it aren't the populations that they really want to access.
Yeah.
And when you go out and talk to the population that access, they don't trust those ways. They want to talk to somebody who's like human. They don't want to do some sort of like AI, or they don't have a lot of trust for it unless they're being trained very specifically on unless the access is good. And some of those AI tools can also be inherently racist.
Oh no, for sure. So I mean, you need to without a doubt, like, have AI tools that are specifically programmed to not have those inherent biases mm-hmm. that medical doctors already have. Mm-hmm. But that's, I mean, shit, man. That's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
Like, AI, like, that's why diversity in tech is so fucking important.
Yeah.
Because you have to have AI that will not be racist. But it's very easy for it to be racist.
And also, is AI also underneath HIPAA? Is that conversation confidential? Because a lot of times you need access to personal identifying information, and if I'm undocumented, I'm not giving that over AI. I'm not talking to that, or like I'm not going through that tool or anything like that, because I'm worried about what that might mean for my permanent status or me retaining my status in this country. Mm-hmm. So like I think there's probably steps in order to make sure it's accessible and people actually feel safe and can trust it before it can be recommended as like a tool that provides more access or to people. Because if you're not hitting the targeted populations, then
what does it matter?
What does it really matter?
Yeah,
you're making it easier for people who already have access.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the biggest things that I should be worried about, but I'm not worried about, is my status of being fresh to death. You know?
I'm sorry, what?
My status of being fresh to death. You know, I don't think it's a real concern of mine because I stay fresh.
Okay.
I'm
sorry, are you having concerns that in the future that might be?
You know, no. All right, y'all. We're going to listen to Black America Again by Common and Stevie Wonder.
They childhood stole from them, robbed of our names and our language. Stole again. Who stole the soul from black folk? Same man that stole the lamp for cheap black smoke and made the whip crackle on our back. Slow made us go through the back door and raffle black bodies on the slave blocks. Now we slaves to the blocks, on them we spray shots. Leaving our own and laying a box. Black mother's stomach stay in the knot. We kill each other, it's part of the plot. I wish the hating would stop. And a battle with us. I know that black lives matter and they matter to us. These are the things we gotta discuss. The new plantation, mass incarceration. Instead of educate, they rather convict the kids. As dirty as the water, it flipped the system is. Is it a felony or a misdemeanor? Maria Sharapova making more than Serena. It took Viola Davis to say this. The roads are the help and the gangsters is really all they gave us. We need Ava's, Ta-Nehisi's, and Cory Booker's. The salt of the earth to get us off of sugar and greasy foods. I don't believe the news or radio stereotypes. We refuse. Brainwashed in the psycho to spin. We write our own story, Black America again.
You know, one way of solving a lot of problems that we've got is letting a person pee on that damn part. And a man can't get himself together until he knows who he is and be proud of what and who he is and wait and wait and where he come from and what and where he come from. Damn Black America again. Think of Sandra Bland as I'm staring in the wind. The color of my skin, they comparing it to sin. The darker it gets, the less fairer it has been. The hate made, I inherit shit from them. But I ain't gonna point the finger. We got anointed singers like Nina, Marvin, Billy, Stevie. Need to hear them songs. Sometimes to believe me, who freed me? Licking a Cadillac, drinking a battle rap. So is it God's speed that we travel at? Endangered in our own habitat. Them guns and dope, man, y'all can have it back. As a matter of fact, we them lab rats. You built the project for, now you want your hood back. I guess if you could rap, you would express it too. That PTSD, we need professional
dose, you know we're pressing you. It makes the pipes bust from schools to prison, y'all. They try to pipe us to your political parties, invite us instead of making voting laws to spite us. You know we from a family of fighters, fighting your wars and our wars. You put a nigga in Star Wars, maybe you need to, and then maybe them will believe you. See black people in the future. We wasn't sent here to rob and shoot ya. We hold these truths up, be self-evident. Our men and women are created equal, including black Americans.
You know, one way of solving a lot of problems that we've got is letting a person feel that there's somebody. And a man can't get himself together until he know who he is and be proud of what and who he is. And where he come from. And where he come from.
We know everybody's a black American story.
To see who you are, little man. Life sometimes is cold and cruel. Maybe no one else will tell you, so remember that you are black gold, black gold. You are black gold. Now maybe no one else has ever told you so. Black gold with a diamond to see you.
Hard enough to see who you
are. Life sometimes is cold and cruel, baby.
Cold and
cruel. I'll tell you, so remember it.
You are.
There's no one like you. Don't mess up.
Black on Black on Black. D-Fantastic in the house.
But Queen in the house. My E in the house.
Okay. So that was Fight For You by her, spelled H period E period R.
You know she's from San Francisco?
I did not know that. That's cool. Yeah. Look at you coming in with facts.
You're so smart
sometimes.
I know. Except when apparently I say edible. Editable.
Spell?
Essay. Bro, I'm on, you know what? Give me some grace.
I'm giving you as much grace as I can.
Yeah.
And so As a closing for National Minority Health Month, I just kind of wanted to give some shout out to organizations that are helping to address these issues of health disparities amongst minorities. So we've got the Black Women's Health Initiative, the first and only national nonprofit solely dedicated to achieving health equity for Black women globally. Founded in 1983, the National Black Women's Health Project was founded at a conference on Spelman campus, which is actually really cool.
That's cool.
For those who don't know, Spelman is an all-women's HBCU, historically Black college university, which is like, if you get into Spelman's, you're fucking hella smart.
Bro.
Yeah.
You know you got hella money.
Yeah.
But have you ever been to that campus before?
No.
One of my childhood best friends went to Spelman.
Wow.
And her brother went to Morehouse. They're that.
Damn.
They're that family.
And Morehouse is the male version of Spelman.
Yeah. What's interesting about that campus is like, Morehouse and Spelman, they're right next, like, they're actually and right behind them is Clark.
Oh, I didn't know
like,
that.
They're all, it's not like a block, they actually just have one little alleyway.
Which is so funny, because it's basically, if you're going to Spelman, if you're going to Morehouse, like, you will be around, like, other genders. You're not going to an all-boys school,
that's not really. My homegirl's husband, like, graduated from Morehouse.
Exactly.
Like she met
him there.
Yeah, bro, right there. They share, like, a lunch area. Huh. Like, they're all... The only thing is that they just don't have classes together.
Exactly.
And they can't live together, but that's, yeah.
Yes. Then we also have the California Black Women's Health Project is the only statewide nonprofit organization that is solely committed to improving the health in California's 1.2 million Black women and girls. Their advocacy, education, outreach, and policy, okay? Which is awesome that it's a California focus. And then there's a Center for Black Women's Wellness. This is based in Atlanta. And it is basically a program full of staff, volunteers, partners, service providers, and they address issues of physical, mental, emotional, and financial health. So I just want to also point out, like, these are like some of the top ones. And look at Black women, always saving the day. Like, we just do the most, and I love it.
Yep. If there's one thing that we are going to do, it is the most, the best, and definitely not the least.
Absolutely. So, thank you, Black women, for just continuing to just do amazing things within the community. You know, Black men, too.
Yeah. Y'all here.
Yeah, y'all are here. Y'all are here.
As long as y'all not in that Hotep phase, y'all are here.
Yeah, Lord.
Bless it.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you for listening to Black on Black on Black. We're here every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. In about 5 minutes coming up, you've got Hell's Kitchen with John Hell. Whatever he's in the mood for, whether it's punk, funk, or junk, you're sure to get an earful of Hell with John Hell. He's got 20-plus years of non-commercial and pirate radio experience. He's a musical force to be reckoned with. So thank you for listening. And we're going to close out with All Right by Kendrick Lamar.
Cause we gon' be alright.
Mad chips like God. Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie, you fucked up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright. And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. On Mac 11, even boom with the face down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. With pretty pussy and Benjamin is the highlight. I tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a motherfucking gangster in silence for the record. Tell the world I knew it's too late. I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my face this all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. nigga, when our pride was low. Looking at the world like, where do we go, nigga? And we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright. You can live at the mall. I can see the evil. I can tell it. I know it's illegal. I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero. Thinking of my partner. Put the candy. Painting on a Rico. Digging in my pocket. And a profit big enough to feed you. Every day my logic. Get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico. Ah. I don't talk about it. Be about it. Every day I sequel. If I got it, then you know you got it. Heaven, I can reach you. Pet dog, pet dog, pet dog. My dog, that's all. Big back and chat. I trap the back for y'all. I rap. I black on tracks. So rest assured. My rights, my wrongs. I write till I'm right with God. When you know we've been hurt, been down. When our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go, nigga? And we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door, my knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Nights in my prayers.
I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same, abusing my power full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming in the hotel room. I didn't want to self-destruct. The evils of Lucy was all around me. So I went running for answers.
About the generations, and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children, so that they know it's a better world for them. I think they can make it a better place.